I know, exactly. I almost would rather hear that song one more time than feel like I have to say something right now. Wow. Let's pray. King Jesus, I just pray that the eyes of our heart can see you as the King. Not just the King that walked on water, but the King who hung on a cross. Help us to see you as who you really are, not just a good teacher, not just a religious leader. Help us to see that you are the culmination of all creation, that nothing that we see even came into being without you. Help us to understand, King Jesus, that you are the one whom God placed all the fullness of who he really was. And then you dwelled among us in obscurity for many years and only had a public ministry for very few years and faced the derision of your own people. The people you came to save treated you with disgust. You did not always have the praise of people, and your face was spat upon. And we come to you acknowledging that no matter how you were treated, that we believe you are the King. And you've shown us how to be human in this crazy world. You've shown us how to live the way you want us to live, which is put ourselves under your reign, to gladly submit to your kingship, to come to your throne every day, every minute of every day, and orient our entire thinking, our being, the foundation of who we are based on what you say, Jesus, because you are the King and you have that right. Help us be humble. Sometimes we don't feel like we got anything to bring. Torn to pieces. Worn out. Even by church good stuff sometimes. Sometimes our heart isn't even where it wants to be. Sometimes I don't even want to preach on Sunday morning. And that's not good, but you know what? That's where I am sometimes. But I know I can come to you and have a conversation with you and put myself under your reign and remember what this is really all about. It ain't about me anyway. I pray that we can experience this moment, that all the songs that have been sung, Jesus is Lord, God, you are awesome. All these moments, take us to the King. The Adlos sharing 2 Corinthians 5, their life's heart, their heart to go to other countries to talk about who you are. I pray that we remember all of that even in this moment. That we are being taken to your throne. And I pray we honor you and respect you as we should. We love you, King Jesus. Pray in your name. Amen. 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 Wow, this song was amazing. Well, it's good to see everybody. We are actually closing up a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount these next few weeks. And we're going to do something a little different the next couple weeks, but I'll share that with you in a little bit. But before I kind of dive into the message today, I did want to say hello to some people that are meaningful, that we care about and love deeply. I didn't know this brother was coming to church today, but Frank Davis is in town, and so I just wanted to say hello, Frank. We love Frank. Frank has served the church in Atlanta for many years, been out in Alabama for many years, but he's meaningful to a lot of people in this room because he's laid his life down for many, many years serving in the ministry. I also wanted to give it up for a couple that is actually here from a church that is very close to our hearts, the Port of Spain Church of Christ, which is located, you know, in Trinidad and Tobago. And so we have two of their pillar members. I mean, they've been in the part of the church for over 30 years, I believe, and they are here. Alan and Ronky Cunningham are among us today, so I don't want to embarrass them, but they're here. You want to stand? There we go. Good to have you all. So please love up on them and listen to their cool accents. There you go. All right. So I'm going to try to jump in, and we're going to look at a passage today, our main text. But before I go to our main text, I thought it'd be good to remind you of what Jesus kind of said before what we're going to talk about today. Because what we're going to talk about today is the last verses that Matthew concludes with the Sermon on the Mount. But you have to really take it in, because you have to listen to what he said right before it. So I just want to quickly review to remind you of what Jesus has already said. Take this computer to the king. It is suffering. There you go. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. Remember that? You know, because wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to what? Is that a strong word? That's a strong word. We shouldn't just gloss over. I mean, destruction is a strong word. And many enter through it, right? But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. So again, Jesus is basically saying, you got to choose. You don't get the luxury of not choosing. You got to make a choice. What path are you going to take? You know, who's going to be on that road with you? And what direction are you headed in? Because it matters. Your choice matters. Because you're going to end up somewhere on that road. You know, where you going to end up? But you got to choose. And it matters which way you choose. And he said, hey, one of those paths is going to be a lot of people on it. And it's going to just seem so, that's got to be the one. Everybody, that many people can't be wrong. That's how this world works. How many reviews? Did he get good reviews? You laugh, but that's how we treat this stuff, I'm telling you. What do people believe now? I don't care what they believe close to Jesus' day. What about now? So we got to be careful. See, I don't think it's hard to find the narrow road. I just think few people are actually looking for it. I don't think Jesus is trying to trick people. I just think there's something in humans that sometimes we just like the broad road. Seems easy, looks good, a lot of people there, must be the right one. You better be careful how you choose. Jesus is trying to make a point. So he gives you that imagery of the road and the gate, right? And then he comes right back on top of you. And he says, you know, because at that broad road, sometimes there might be somebody that's real eloquent talking about, come this way. Somebody maybe look like me, right? Follow this road. You got to watch out for some of these people that might not really be true. Their intentions are not honest. All right, you have to be careful, because you got to choose. You got to be able to see the fruit of somebody's life. Don't just listen to the words coming out of their mouth. That takes time and it takes nearness. Because some people might be up there talking about God, but inside, they're not praying to God, they're praying on you. Are they feeding the flock or are they feeding off the flock? How you gonna know? You better be looking. Pay attention. Because by their fruit, at some point, it's gonna be revealed that they were there for themselves and not for you. At some point it'll be revealed. But you got to choose to who you're going to let influence you. Who you going to let influence you as you're going on your path in life. Jesus said, take it seriously, right? Because he said, look, because here's what would be so tragic. If you're on that road listening to whoever you're listening to. And you talking about, Lord, Lord, look what I did. We went to the church and man, we had miracles all over the place. We had people preaching the word. But you know what? All that outward stuff messed you up. You were so enamored with all the cool big moments that you didn't realize you had no real relationship with me. Don't get fooled by all the glitz and the glamour. You need to have a personal, growing, vibrant, honest relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's what he wants. And you can be a part of a great church. This is a good church, casting out demons in Jesus' name, doing mighty works. This is good. But there's something about it that can maybe not bear such great fruit. So we have to make sure we are choosing wisely. So this is the kind of the setup for the very end of the message, right? So you got to have these visuals in your mind as we approach our text for the day. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Please say that with me. Puts them into practice. This is going to come back a little bit later. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is one of the easiest visuals that you can possibly imagine. We could take this passage to the kindergartners, and they could pretty much walk away with, okay, I think I got it. But for some reason, sometimes we kind of don't get it, right? And I liked reading one of the books I was telling you guys about, talking about what does a rock represent. And I thought this was interesting. I'm not saying it's interesting. Does it represent Christian theology? That this author called it the intellectual answer. Okay, that's what the rock. You're going to build on the rock? Okay. Or does it stand for the church? That's the institutional answer, right? What about Jesus? That's the Sunday school answer. Jesus, that's the answer. Jesus, right? Jesus. You're never going to get it wrong, right? Obedience to Jesus' teachings. That's the correct answer. It's not that the other answers are wrong, but the thrust of what Jesus is saying in this parable, it's really getting at that obedience to what he's saying. All right? And you got to choose. You have to choose. You don't get the ability to opt out. Are you human? Are you breathing? Okay, you better choose. So how are you going to build your life, right? Is it going to be to obedience of Jesus' teachings or to other things? And I love, let's just look, break it down. Wise man. Who's the wise man? Right? This word, phronimos. One who has learned to live prudently, not only knows the truth, but acts on it. Right? But that the foolish man is a moros. You laugh because if you change that last letter, Vanna, can I get a, consonant? I need an end. Or would you like to be the moron that builds his house on sand? Who are you calling a moron, Jesus? Again, Jesus is not playing around. You have a choice on how you can orient your life. And Jeff, you were obviously sleepy when you made this slide because you used the same house on both sides. You obviously don't, you made a mistake. We'll, you're getting older, we understand. No, I'm not getting old. I am getting older, but that's not the point. I think the point that Jesus is making is when you really study this out, it's not really about the non-Christian and the Christian. And the Christian builds on the rock and the non-Christian builds on this. That's not really what he's getting at. What he's saying is, no, these houses look pretty similar. That's the point. That's the thrust of the parable. It's like to the naked eye, you can't really tell. You can't tell how it was really built, right? You know, you get the picture of two people trying to build a house or whatever, and one guy, oh, I'm going to build over here. Another guy, oh, I'll just build over here. And you get the one guy, he's just digging. They just keep digging and digging and digging and digging. And the other guy looks at him and goes, geez, that guy's been taking forever to build a house. Man, that takes forever. Just dig, dig. That's good enough. They build a house. They got it. They got it up. It's looking good, right? Everybody's like, wow, the house is good. And they look over there, guy's still digging. He's still digging. I got my house. I've been watching the game. I got DirecTV. I got everything I want. Got my man cave. I'm ready. This guy's still digging. What an idiot. He's so inefficient. This could have been done so much with less time. I didn't even have to pay the guys longer because they got done quicker. And they're still digging. But he's digging. But at one point, whoa, hits rock. All right. Now let's build. Now let's build. Because this is important. People I love are going to be in here. I'm going to be up in here. This is the most valuable thing I'm probably going to purchase in my entire life. So I'm building it on sturdy rock, right? And once that storm comes, because my man got the man cave, he got the weather channel on HD, you know what I'm saying? And he starts, wow, that storm front looked like it's coming right over our house. Right? And his house doesn't make it. And then you just happen to be walking down the road, maybe a week or two later, and you look at the two houses and you go, wow, that house stood. That house, oh my gosh. Now who's the fool? Now who's the moron? Right? So sometimes, you know, to the naked eye, two people can, especially in East Cobb, I'm sorry, you can look, you can say all the right Christian things, you can attend all the right good stuff. And from the outside, you can look good. You got all the Christian lingo, everything down. But, you know, really the only person that really knows that foundation is not going to be you or me initially. You know, I love this quote. If we live for the affirmation of others, we are unlikely to give much attention to our foundations. And we will be in great peril. The world celebrates the grandeur of the house, but the Lord alone knows the quality of its foundation. I think a lot of us live for the affirmation of others. I really do. I think it's a challenge in our day and age. It just is. Every culture, every, you know, day and age has its own challenges. I think so many of it, we just want affirmation and likes and stuff like that too much, and it seeps into even our religious lives and our spiritual lives. And I think we got to be careful. I thought that's so true. If you care so much about how other people view you, then you're not going to really care much about how you're really building and what you're building on. So be careful that you're not selling out to this age and what it says is good and great and who you need to be. You got to be careful because you have to choose. You have to make a choice. Is it going to be wise or is it going to be foolish? I remember this passage hit me like a ton of bricks, especially, I mean, you know, I was a single guy reading the Bible for the first time really deeply, you know, and came across this passage. And I remember it was so striking to me because I felt like that was kind of the default mode of my life, is to care about what other people thought, man. I just want to appear like I got it together, man. I want people to see me and go, man, that guy's, he's got it. He's smarter. He's doing great at his job and what a great education. Da, 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 da. I just love that stuff a little too much. And so I'd be willing to, if you're willing to praise me, I'll do whatever, you know. I don't really care about what's going on down there. As long as I can get that affirmation, I'm good. And I still can struggle with that. Don't get me wrong, right? So even to this day, I read this and I go, man, whew, I gotta come back to Jesus. I gotta come back to my foundation. I gotta put my foundation in the right place. Jesus wants a whole heart, entire life orientation towards him and his teaching. That's building on the rock. You have to dig and dig and dig sometimes. Stop settling for pop culture, religion, and spirituality. Stop settling. Stop being one of those people that's shallow. You get a passage that's kind of hard to understand. Too hard to understand. Just keep it moving. No. Dig. Dig deeper until you can get a conviction on something. You gotta keep digging. Stop being shallow. Stop taking the easy route. Stop just listening to what the loudest person says or who's got the coolest podcast at the time. Just because of what they say doesn't mean it's true. Keep digging until you get to the bedrock. Get your own convictions. Don't just look at the big wide road and think that's what it's all about. Don't pray or fast just so you can say, I prayed and I fasted. No, pray and fast because that's what Jesus talks about. And it helps our intimacy with him. Do you serve money more than Jesus? Then you got to be careful because he taught about that. So keep digging until you get to that conviction. Until Jesus is guiding your daily decisions. So what does it come down to? It comes down to this concept of doing something. So this word, so in everything, do to others, right? In Matthew 7, 21. Do to others what you have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. In chapter 7, 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. That word bear, that word do. In verse 7, 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. All of those words, it says bear and do, and you go, oh, how's that the same word? It is the same word. It's the same word in the Greek language. It's a very versatile word. But at the end of the day, it's what you do. That doesn't mean, are you talking about you have to earn your salvation? No, no. So don't be shallow, keep digging. If you think that's what I'm saying, it's not what I'm saying. So don't write off what I just said. It's not that you earn your salvation by what you do, but you have to take Jesus at his word. If you aren't doing some of this stuff, you ain't gonna make it. So you gotta listen to what he's saying. Obedience. It comes down to some obedience. Either he's the king, you obey a king. I know in our country we struggle with the concept of a king. We just do. Our origin story is not good with kings. We just celebrated getting the independence from a king. We don't even grow up under that concept. And some of us quite literally kind of bristle. A king, like, just tell me what to do. He has say over my whole life. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's how it works, you know. Some of we struggle with that. Jesus is ushering in a kingdom. That's the whole concept of the Sermon on the Mount. He is inaugurating the kingdom that he came, and he's reigning over it. And we need to submit to him and do what he says in order to bear the fruit of a life that characterizes that kingdom. So that people can see, oh, this is how you can live in this world. Oh, it's actually possible to live on that narrow road and not feel like you're missing out. Oh, wow. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, same word. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Put it into practice. So Jesus says all this stuff, right? And notice what Matthew says after Jesus says it. He's concluding all the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were, what does it say? Amazed at his teaching. Because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. They were amazed. And for years, I was like, man, that's so cool. Like, Jesus had so much power and impact. Like, he wasn't quoting other rabbis. He was just saying it from his own self or from God. And I mean, that's powerful. He had authority because he's the king. And they recognized that, amen, this is great. And then while I researched, like, hold up. Matthew's leaving it open. Because you can be amazed and not change one thing in your life. You can be amazed. Wow. Boom. Anyway, I'm just going to keep doing, I was like. In fact, I think our culture, we're getting desensitized. We like almost want a hit of the cool spiritual nugget of the day. Give me the scripture of the day or the teaching of the day. Ooh, that's cool. Ah. But then we just do our own life the way we want to do it. And somehow convince ourselves that we're really under the reign of King Jesus? Wow. Wow. You're building on the sand. You're on the broad road. You don't want might be saying, Lord, Lord, be careful. I'm telling you, be careful, choose wisely. Doesn't matter if you're amazed at what Jesus said over the Sermon on the Mount all this time, you better put the stuff into practice. Put it into practice. You gotta live in a countercultural manner in this world. I appreciate this quote. Jesus did not preach it in order to be admired for his homiletical skills. He preached it to produce obedience. He preached it so that the authority people recognized in his preaching might be realized in their lives. This is the challenge, to have it realized in our lives. And so we're going to do something in the next couple weeks. And the reason is because we were like, you know what? If we're reading all this stuff on the Sermon on the Mount and all this, like, it'd be kind of weird just to swiftly, abruptly switch gears. And I thought, you know, this is a concept that is not just Jesus. He wasn't the only one that brought this concept up. And I love, you know, like I did last week, because we're Old Testament averse, some of us really bad. So I'm going to give you an Old Testament moment, okay, and help you see how they actually work together, all right? And if you want, you can actually open your Bible or go on your phone if you want, because I'm not putting all the words up here. And we're going to do a little moment in the Old Testament that shows you that even in the Old Testament, God wanted us to obey. There you go. Amen? Yeah. And we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. Oh, see? Not as familiar. The pages are very crisp in your Bible, maybe, at Ezekiel. Or you're scrolling through the app to find where is Ezekiel, actually. So, but I'm not down on you. I'm just, you know. So Ezekiel, right, he's a prophet, right? Someone whom God speaks through, right? It's not just about telling the future. It's really also, it includes that, but it's really about being a spokesperson for God. So that's who Ezekiel has been for God. The problem is the people, not good. The Israelites got extracted. They got exiled. They got taken out by Babylonians. And some of them are now, they're in Babylon. They disobeyed God, and now they got the fruit of their life. And so Ezekiel's been trying to preach to them, like, you know, this stinks, but you know what? God's still going to come through for us. But we got to obey God. I mean, you know, we should learn from this bad lesson that we are enduring right now. And so in Ezekiel 33, there's this back and forth with God and Ezekiel. And I want you to hear some of the things that have been going on. And so the context is there's somebody, again, they're stuck in Babylon, right? They've been exiled because they disobeyed God. But then some Israelites were still in Jerusalem. But then they come and they say, Jerusalem, now it's fallen. It's totally jacked up. It's been overrun completely now. And, you know, God's trying to tell them, well, let me see. Why did that happen? Oh, they didn't obey anything I told them to do, right? And this is what happens. And then in what I felt was like a heartfelt moment, I felt, from God to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 33, look here in verse 30. God talking to Ezekiel. As for you, son of man. Isn't that interesting? Jesus refers to himself as son of man, right? But here we are in the Old Testament. As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, hey, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you, Ezekiel, as they usually do, and they sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths, they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, Ezekiel, you're nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. So Ezekiel, when all these things that I've been talking about come true, and it surely will, because I'm running things, then the people will know that a prophet has been among them. So either you can listen to Jesus and he can be somebody singing a nice song, or me, right? Oh, good sermon. Oh, thank you. That was so helpful. But if you're not willing to put it into practice, then we got problems. What does it look like to put it into practice? I can tell you exactly what it looks like to put it into practice. The next time somebody offends you and you want to come right back at them, why don't you think about these teachings? and go, whew. Jesus says, don't retaliate the way other people come at you. What if somebody betrays your trust? Ooh, that's a tough one. What are you supposed to do? Let them have it. Lay into them. Give them the cold shoulder. Let them feel it. All right. But maybe you might want to think about forgiveness. How do you put this stuff into practice? That's how you put this stuff into practice. You keep digging until your life can look like what it says in here. And it's not easy. But God is with you. He has taught you. And he has shown you the way. Now you got to choose. And over the next couple weeks, what we're going to do is we are going to open up, we're going to have a few people share the next couple weeks. And what we would like is to hear from you, you know, like brothers and sisters of the church. We can't use everybody, of course, right? We're trying to get, you know, different age groups and all that kind of thing. Some men, some women, all that kind of stuff. But the concept is we want to hear from you. We want to give you an opportunity to share for a few minutes. Like, what have you learned from this series? What are some of the things that you feel like are challenging to you? Or maybe, you know what? You don't even have to say, and I've totally figured out forgiveness. I mean, it could be like, man, I'm still battling, but man, at least I understand the battle better. I mean, we're open to that too. It's not that you have to be perfect. That's not what Jesus is getting at. But we do have to build our lives on him and his teachings. And so we want to hear from you. So the next few couple Sundays, we're going to do that. So if you feel like there's something, a conviction that you have, please feel free to send me an email. It's right there. And I thank you for listening. But I hope you don't just think that I was singing love songs, because I'm trying to get you to listen to Jesus and put it into practice. Amen.